Let's press pause. I've got a five-minute Jesus for you. The Apostles' Creed has been a standard summary of Christian belief since its origins in the second century. To this day, it's affirmed by both Roman Catholic and Protestant churches. Now, there are two references in this creed to the afterlife. One relates to Jesus. In the middle stanza, it says, "On the third day, he rose again from the dead." That's the heart of Easter, the heart of the Christian faith. But the other reference is about believers in general. It comes in the third stanza of the creed, "I believe in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting." Sometimes even long-term churchgoers assume that the reference at the end of the creed to the resurrection of the body reiterates what was said earlier about Jesus' resurrection, when it says, "On the third day he rose again." But the third stanza of the creed is about believers, not Jesus. Following the teaching of the New Testament, the Apostles' Creed states that just as on the third day Jesus rose again, so at the end of history, men and women will experience their own resurrection of the body. And it's in this bodily mode that we will enjoy life everlasting. Historically, in other words, the Christian view of the afterlife has always envisaged resurrected bodies in a revived creation, not immortal spirits in an eternal heaven. That is what the kingdom of God is all about, the Lord's reign over creation. Jesus himself frequently spoke of the resurrection, ours, not his. In Luke chapter 14, he said, "When you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." In John chapter 5, he says, "Do not be astonished at this, for the hour is coming when all who are in their graves will hear my voice and will come out, some to resurrection life, some to the resurrection of condemnation." Paul taught the same thing. He described Jesus' resurrection as the first fruits in 1 Corinthians 15. This is an agricultural term, of course, for the initial produce of a coming harvest. So Jesus is the first indication, the inauguration of God's great future harvest when he revives the dead and renews creation. When I first became a Christian, I feared, that the Bible taught the ethereal clouds and angels view of heaven. I thought God's kingdom was a bodiless spirit world. But the thing is, I loved the taste, smell, sight, sound, and touch of this world. Now I was meant to look forward to losing these five senses and having them replaced by some spiritual sixth sense. And I really wasn't excited about it. Fortunately, someone pointed out to me, that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible's kingdom come isn't an ethereal place of clouds and spirits. That's pagan theology, Hindu theology, Hollywood theology. The kingdom come is a new creation with resurrected bodies. It's a place where the frailties and disappointments of this natural order are resolved through an extraordinary act of divine recreation. The resurrection of Jesus is so central to the Christian faith, not just because it marks his life out as a unique historical moment, but because it's the first fruits. In Christ's resurrection, God shows he is willing and able to breathe new life where there is currently death and decay. The resurrection of Jesus is God's tangible guarantee within history that he will do the same for us and the whole creation at the climax of history. You can press play now.